Many women waste more hours in the day than they actually use productively or fruitfully. I mean, they waste it. They do not use it in pursuit of pleasure or pursuit of production of housework. They simply goof it off. Many women just fritter and flutter. Many women have as a hallmark of their personalities a complete indecisiveness. This is more a feminine area than a male area. Men, not infrequently, will stubbornly and resolutely make up their minds and not change their minds, even if you can show them that they've been stupid. But a woman will vacillate. She will flitter like a butterfly from one attractive posy of conviction to another and never land on any one of them long enough to know whether it's right or not. And in the passage of a few hours, that much of the time of the day is completely lost. There are other women who take pride in being organized, resolute. They take over situations. The take charge type of woman, you know one like this? It's pretty horrible. It's terrible to live with. I've known a few, never lived with one, but I've known a few that are always in charge. They immediately lend efficiency to everything. And, you know, there's nothing efficient about romance and lovemaking, and so you try to put the two together, and you don't get a woman at all. An efficient woman is some kind of a zombie. At the same time, she shouldn't be a complete tip-willow of a person, continually changing flight, changing direction, changing headings, like a hummingbird. So in between the two, the take-charge type gal and the clinging vine type that wants to be taken charge of, there lives a category of womankind that is endurable to the male. And we're going to find out just in which phase of these categories you fit in this afternoon. I want to sell you some groceries, if I may, because the weekend is coming on us with a rapid pace, and I think Instant Chase and Sanborn coffee certainly belongs in your shopping list. There's always a time when you wish you had instant coffee around the place, even if you use Chase and Sanborn ground coffee most of the time. But Instant Chase and Sanborn is the only instant coffee on the market that goes into solution instantly in water of any temperature and gives you the full coffee nectar. And I'll tell you how they do this. They use 3 pounds of coffee beans to make 1 pound of Chase and Sanborn Instant. That's why it doesn't have a peculiar taste, as most instant coffees always have had. 3 pounds to 1 it takes to preserve that natural coffee nectar. And naturally, this costs Mr. Chase and Mr. Sanborn a little more money, but it gives a much better product. And you'll join the people who have made it the best-selling instant coffee in the world first time you buy Instant Chase and Sanborn. All right, if you hear that creaking, it's not my old and aged bones and revolt against this uncomfortable chair. It's just somebody forgot to grease the springs on this thing. That's all it is. Question number one. Do you usually speak your mind without thinking? Now, you must analyze yourself here. Do you just blow off your opinion or blow off your remark or come up with a statement and then, oh, why did I say that? Have you ever said to yourself, I could have cut my tongue off when I said this thing? Now, if you can recall having been embarrassed because you spoke before you thought, then you must take a yes answer. And, of course, I would have to take a yes answer. I I talk so much and about so many things that I frequently think after a broadcast has been terminated, I could have done this so much better if I'd put a little more thought to it, you know? So I will take a yes, I speak my mind without thinking, although I speak so slowly that it might fool you. You might think I'd been thinking. There is the... Number two, do you buy things on the spur of the moment? McPeak says no, he doesn't. You know who buys things on the longest spur of the biggest moments that ever lived is Hal Stark. That guy has been calculating on the wisdom of painting his 1947 Lincoln for the last year and a half, as I remember. And he's finally got it down to where somebody will do it for $30 now. But, Armantrout, do you buy things on the spur of the moment? I do, too. If I can't get it and take it home with me, I change my mind about it. I don't want it. I got to have it now, or else not at all. So McPeak gets a no on that, and we get a yes. Do you find it hard to be punctual? No, I don't. I find it hard to be anything else. But, of course, I've got nearly 30 years of training in this bit. It's like Otis Shepard once said to me about playing golf. I played golf almost every day of my life for 30 years, and I have yet to enjoy my first game. And so it is with being punctual. I am always on time, but I've never enjoyed being on time. But what else can you do with a lapel microphone here? You know, she won't wait for you. Number four, do you frequently find yourself out of household staples? You're out of the soap, you're out of the coffee, you're out of the things that you know you're going to need. Dwight, no, you don't. Armantrout, constantly with me, too. This morning I had no coffee in the house. I'd gone to the store yesterday, too, but I hadn't realized I didn't have any coffee. Staples I run out more often of than I do of anything else, as a matter of fact. I won't run out of the fancy gadgets and the things I like, but the staples, the salt, the pepper, I run out of those. Number five, do you lose your temper easily? That's a difficult question, even for a very honest man or woman to answer. I think men lose their tempers easier than women do. Although I suspect this of being an inept phrase, we should say grow angry quicker. Men grow angry quicker because, as a rule, they're angry with a woman. And nothing can make a man as angry as a woman. There is no such irritant in all the world as a woman who wants to be nasty to a man. And for that reason, I suspect that... Men do lose their tempers or grow angry more frequently and quicker than most women. But I wonder if you as an individual regard yourself as having a temper tantrum problem, let's put it that way. I haven't been mad for 12 years, and that's how long it's been since I was married last, too. I don't know whether by some strange coincidence. Do you misjudge the motives of other people? I'm usually right. I don't think I misjudge motives of people. There are two kinds of people, two kinds of motives. One wants to help you and the other wants to hurt you, and I have very little difficulty telling one from the other. I do not misjudge the motives of people, I don't think. Do you frequently stay up too late at night and oversleep or goof off in the morning? No, we never do. Even though I stayed up all night last night and I'm a little soggy of intellect this afternoon, but that was not done on any whim of the moment. That was essential. Do you overspend your budget? Are you always overspent? Well, what do you mean, Dwight? You say yes and no. You overspend your budget, but you don't overdraw your account. Is that it? I see. Armantrout, do you have any financial responsibility whatsoever? You do. Armantrout, how you've changed. Well, I have absolutely none whatever. I keep my financial stability in the name of Gracie Sundell, who won't let me get my cotton picking fingers on any kind of money at all, because if I did, I'd either give it away or spend it. Getting money out of her is the most difficult thing anybody can do, but I'm trying to convince her that she's wrong. She's saving money for me for my old age, and Columbia Broadcasting is doing the same thing. What these gentle people don't realize is that this is my old age. Hey, this is when I want that largesse. Not when I'm a three-legged old derelict being pushed around the Côte d'Azur in a wheelchair by an 18-year-old French girl who was a registered nurse. I don't need it then. I want it right now where I can still chase them and catch them and not regret it. But they don't see it that way. And it's just as well. Anyway, you overspend your budget or your allowance? Do you always seem to be rushed? Now, there is a brilliant question. There are some people who go through their whole lifetime with the minutes breathing down the backs of their necks. They can never catch up with the wasted hours. They can never get ahead of the game. Well, that isn't true of us here. One thing we do know how to do is schedule ourselves, and I manage to leave great gaping holes in most every day where I don't have to do anything. And within the periphery of that leisure, I do as little as possible, and I love it. But I can, at the same time, I can unerringly guide my way through the complexities of vastly complex travel schedules and broadcast schedules and taping and telephone shows and all that sort of thing and not miss and seem rushed. Lastly, do you appear incapable of making decisions? Do you appear incapable of making decisions? Well, I haven't made a bad decision in 12 years. That was the last time I said yes to a woman. You know, you should always say no to a girl because you can always change your mind afterwards and say yes. But once you say yes, it's irrevocable. You haven't got a chance. And I'll tell you a good technique for a girl to use with a fella, too. No matter what he asks her to do, she should never say no. She should say, yes, dear, but not now. Eh? Never say no. Always dangle a little hors d'oeuvre of ecstatic delight just a little bit in front of him. That's the way. It's 1:30 at WBBM and WBBM-FM, the talk of Chicago, your direct line of the news, and Paul Gibson. And if you would like to call me in the Ladies and the Tiger episode and give me your score on this, whether you are organized or not, or whatever else you might like to debate with me, just call Mohawk 49000, that's all. It's very simple, Mohawk 49000. Now, do we appear incapable of making decisions? I know that Armantrout isn't incapable. Is because when it comes time for me to get off the air, old Stoneface comes in here like a tail of a tornado with a fist out of which is bristling one long accusing finger. It seems to suggest that I am depriving somebody else of their rightful utilization of our broadcast time. He doesn't know how tough it is to bring a thing to its logical conclusion. he's a decision maker. Am I a decision maker? Yeah, I guess so. I guess we'd all take a no on that. We do not appear incapable of making decisions. You put a no on that if you can make decisions. Now, you may take 10 points for every yes answer. And if you got over 80 points, that is, if you had more than 8 yes answers, you better run right into the bathroom and take a look in the mirror in front of the medicine cabinet, because your head may not even be attached. You may have left it somewhere and you'd be the last to notice it. Eight yes answers would mean that you were a kind of a fluttery woman, always gushing about something, circulating from ecstasy to misery and back and forth without much reason for either heading. You make promises and forget you made them. You are utterly undependable. You foul up the family bank account every week or every month if your husband is stupid enough to let you have an account. You run bills everywhere and forget that you've got them and forget to pay them. You take things to laundries and forget which laundries you took them to, or with a similar type of thing. If you're able to get along without a keeper, you're a lucky gal, and you must be very lovable, because somebody puts up with an awful lot of abuse from you, an awful lot of trouble. Now, on the other hand, if you had between 40 and 70 points, that is, between 4 and 7 yes answers, then sometimes you are and sometimes you're not. You are organized and disorganized. You are flighty. You go on orgies of being practical. And then you go on orgies of being impractical. You fling yourself from one extreme to the other. But you're probably pretty nice people to have around. And after all, you don't expect a girl to make too much sense anyway, do you? A practical female is not very romantic to have around. But now, if you had from 0 to 30 points, that is, all no answers, or only 1 or 2 yes answers, you're pretty remarkable. If you're a girl, you're as finely etched as a dry point engraving. You are precise in your ways and probably almost intolerable, because you insist upon everything being done to finesse. You don't believe that ashtrays are for the purpose of being fouled up with cigarette ashes. You don't think anybody should ever use the fine china or the good silver. You keep it in its little tomb in the closet, and you only put it on the table when you have people for dinner that you don't like very well. You probably use the cracked crockery to feed your family, and you drag out the spode to feed your guests that you don't enjoy. Similarly, you only spend money on fine food at the store when you're having guests, and you make the father of the family consume leftovers and comparatively speaking, garbage. When you're going to have guests over, then you blow it and you will have a big, fine roast beef or a turkey or a steak. But just for the family, who should be important to you, it ain't practical. You can feed them any kind of ground hamburger or meatloaf or whatever you like. At the same time, you're a magnificent woman to have along on a crisis. You will take charge. You will see to it that everything goes right. You won't overlook a bet. You will never collapse into a confused bundle of lungs and legs and sobs and tears. You would not be much fun on a picnic, you understand, honey. But you'd be great to have along on a panic. You'd be wonderful in a tidal wave, but you wouldn't be much fun on a moonlight beach at night. So now you have it, and you can score yourself whether you're well-organized or disorganized or somewhere down the middle.